Well, I want to begin, again, this is, if you didn't know, this is probably the final official sermon I'm giving. We will be here next week. We'll might even be here the week after that as a bonus week, as moving dates change. But again, we won't be up in Minnesota until September 1st to start there. So I want to begin simply by reading a part of the scripture we had today, because I think it's a wonderful way to start. And it says this: "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day Christ Jesus returns. I know that those words are absolutely true for me and for you. Every time I think about you, I do give thanks to God for you. Some of you know I came here fresh out of seminary about 8 years ago with lots of ideas and lots of plans, but very, very little experience. And you really helped me become a pastor. You helped me learn how to do all the things and how to be all the things that a pastor is. And so I want to thank you today for putting up with me, first of all, putting up with my experiments and my crazy ideas and all the different ways that I wanted to think about being the church and reaching people and maybe doing stuff a little bit differently than normal. And I do thank you, because there are many churches that probably would have said, forget that and just vote everything down and kind of kick me out the door. But I thank you that you didn't do that, and that you're willing to give lots of different things a try and continue to experiment with what it means to be the church in this time and this place, and to be a church that's not foreign and scary to people that walk in the door, but a church that is welcoming and open to people that come. So thank you for trusting me, and thank you for teaching me. You know, I do hope that after 8 years of giving sermons and messages and talks and different things, that I have been able to teach you something, but I also want you to know that you have taught me many, many things. And so I thank you for teaching me to be a pastor. I thank you for teaching me how to lead and how to counsel and how to walk with people in different seasons of life. I thank you for teaching me as well through your personal example that I have been very privileged to be invited into your life, into all of those precious moments where times are hard, even in the midst of joy, in the midst of loss, in the midst of despair, in the midst of hope. You've shown me what faith means. You have modeled a living faith for me, and you have modeled incredible faithfulness in the midst of difficulty. I have so many examples of ways that you have held on kind of through the dark nights and the dark life that you face, and trust in Christ to bring you to the dawn of a new day. And that dawn has come every single time. But of course, it's not just me that thanks you. It is Jessica and the kids that thank you as well. We sincerely thank God for you, our Zion family, our family on mission. You have supported us throughout the time that we have been here. You have encouraged us. You have challenged us. You have loved us. And you've really welcomed us into your family. You know, I think about from the very, very first day that we moved here, you showed us that you were family to us. As some of you remember, there was a whole bunch of you that were at our house and were unloading the giant truck. And my dad was there, and he kept joking with people like, you know, there's a giant piano in the back of that truck. And they all thought that he was kidding. And then we got to the very back of the truck, and there's the piano sitting there. And they're thinking, how are we going to get that in the house? And people sat there for I don't know how long, a long time, a whole bunch of people doing kind of puzzles and experiments. And I think it was actually Diane Lauer that finally decided, you need to put the top of the piano up, and then it will fit. And sure enough, we did it, and it fit right in there, and nobody was smashed or squashed or, you know, killed or anything like that. So we were very thankful for that. We're thankful that piano movers will be taking it out, and they will not be damaged in that process either. But that was a huge piece. And the other thing I very clearly remember from our first day here was we had our big queen bed, our big queen mattress, our big queen box spring, and we're trying to get it up the stairs. And we get it up to the very top, and then there's one of those 360 turnarounds, and we absolutely could not fit it around that corner. And so we kind of started panicking. And what are we going to do? We're going to have to be without a bed. said, but Lynn and Scott Sellers were there, and they said, you know what, years ago we had exactly the same problem, and so we had our box spring cut in half. And so on the spot, they went and they got their box spring that was cut in half, and they traded with us so they could have our new one, and we took theirs, and sure, and we were able to easily get them up the steps. You know, just like that, you know, from day one, it's like, okay, this is a good place. This is a place where we are family. This is a place where people who don't even know us yet are going out of their way to give things to us, to make us welcome, and to give us a place to sleep. And so we thank you for that. You know, we came here as outsiders, really not knowing anybody at all, and you welcomed us, you introduced us to people, you showed us around, and you really helped us become part of the community. And that is a fantastic gift, and we thank you for that. We also thank you for being with us in the midst of all the good times and the bad times. I mean, I think of all that you've done, throwing baby showers for us and providing meals and babysitting and also praying for us in the midst of sickness and giving us cards and comfort in the midst of losing grandparents and different loved ones while we were here. You have definitely been a family to us. And so especially Jessica and I thank you for embracing our children in the midst of these times, that you've really been their adopted grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and been a family away from family. And that is a wonderful gift. So we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all of the love and all of the kindness and all of the blessings that you have shown our family. You have truly been a blessing to us and our kids. And know that wherever we go from here, we will always treasure you as our Zion family. And I think especially because we're not simply family, we are also family on mission together. We're a family that has come together and decided that we are joining for a common purpose, that we have a common mission to share the good news of Christ through our words and through our lives. And we've tried to discover together how to do that. We've tried to discover what it means to be the church and not just go to church. We've tried to figure out how to partner with one another for the gospel. And so we've done things like Vacation Bible School. We've done prayer walks. We've gone on different mission trips locally and nationally and all around the globe. We've packed thousands of meals with Kids Against Hunger. And we've given over $1 million to different organizations and ministries around the world. And what a gift that is, that Zion is able to plant seeds in all of those places. And it really is, I think, God setting up the fact that we as a church are designed to equip and send. We as a church are designed to plant seeds and to scatter seeds so that things will grow. And one of the results of that is that you are scattering us, that we can grow elsewhere, just as we trust in God to continue to gather and scatter you to grow faith right here and all around the world. There are truly countless ways that we have lived out our faith together and that we've helped the community see what Jesus looks like. And that mission cannot and will not end just because God is calling my family to a different congregation, right? God needs you to be the church in this place. God is working to bring his kingdom through you in Waterville and White House and beyond. And this community needs you. They need your smiles. They need your compassion. They need your handshakes and your meals and your acts of service. They need to know that there is hope. And they need to keep seeing every day what Christ looks like and what it means to be a Christian and not just to put a label on something, but to live it out. Now, I know that some of us do have some questions. Some of us do have some fears or some uncertainty as we think about what are the next steps. What is this next chapter of ministry going to look like? But I am certain, again, as Scripture said, that we have a good God and that God will continue his work in you until it is finished. I know that God wasn't surprised by our announcement to move to Minnesota. God wasn't scrambling around trying to figure out, oh no, what am I going to do? What is Zion going to do without Dan or without the Breadbergs? God knew that this day would come, and God has been preparing all of us for this day for a very long time. I firmly believe God would not have called us to serve elsewhere unless he had already had a plan in place to provide for you, to give you leadership and vision and care and direction. And I know that God has indeed done that. God has given you a wonderful pastor and Pastor Steve, a wonderful and caring staff, a wonderful council, people who are committed, people who are faithful, people that want to love and serve and give of themselves and lead you to do the same. And God has also given you each other. Faithful and kind and generally wonderful people, right? You look around, these are wonderful people sitting next to you. And this is a good thing, right? It would be painful to be in a church where you look around and you basically hate everyone that's around you. I'm very glad that that's not the case. If that is the case, we'll pray for you and things will change quickly. But the truth is, you are a great congregation and I am very thankful to serve you. And be thankful for the gift of one another that God has given you. But above all, be thankful that you have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with you to guide you, to direct you, and to lead you into this next chapter of life and ministry. God has already given you incredible gifts and talents and imagination and passions. God has filled you with generosity and compassion. In short, God has given you everything that you need to continue the mission that He has set before you. So please don't let the enemy use our departure to put fear or anxiety in your hearts. Don't let the ending of one chapter prevent you from stepping into the beginning of a new chapter, because this next chapter that God is writing for Zion, I definitely believe is going to be an awesome chapter. God has very good things in store for you. Look at this promise from Scripture. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. So don't enter into the coming weeks with fear. Instead, walk by faith. And know that faith comes from hearing the Word of God and believing it. So take time every day, and especially in these weeks, to read God's Word, to listen to God's Word, to hear God's Word spoken in sermons and in songs in all different ways. Then believe that Word and live into it. That is what life is about. Believe that you are who God says you are. Believe that you can do what God says that you can do. Then you'll face the future not with fear, but with faith, with a living and confident trust in God. As one of my favorite Bible verses summarizes all of this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Now, times of transition and change can be hard to work through, yes. But I'm here today to remind everyone that we can work through them. Just look at the past. Zion was a very different church when I came here 8 years ago, and a very different church 80 years ago. We have weathered many battles. We have gone through many struggles to come to the place that we are. And again, this is just the beginning of the journey that God is leading all of you on. Greater things are still to come. Greater things are yet to be done in the city and in this church and in your lives. So this is not a time that Zion shrinks back or fades away. Instead, this is a time, I believe, that God is going to grow all of you, to increase your faith, to help you be even more dependent on Him and come to realize again just how much power is available to those who believe in His name. And thankfully for all of us, in the midst of some challenges and changes, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know what's going to happen in 3 days or 3 months or 3 years from now. All we need to do is keep our eyes focused on Jesus today and follow Him one step at a time. And as you do that, I promise you that He will lead you exactly where you need to be and that He will form you into the person He created you to be. A person who lives by faith and not fear. A person that is free to live a deep and meaningful life. And so, friends, I want to simply now lift up some of my prayers for you. First, I pray that you will keep growing Zion's family. There are so many people out there who are lost, people who are hurting, people who are confused, people who are rejected, people who have had terrible experiences with the church and never want anything to do with it again. But they want to belong. They want to be loved. They want to be part of something greater than themselves. They want to know that they can make a difference in the world. And God wants you, His dearly loved children, to go out and invite them into that experience. Because that's exactly the life that God has for all of us. A life that means being part of something greater than ourselves, being loved, being appreciated, and knowing that you are making a difference in the world. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to go memorize 4 spiritual laws and recite them to people on a street corner. And it doesn't mean that you need to go knocking on doors and try to tell people why they're going to hell unless they believe something specific. It simply means listening to people's stories, praying about how you can be good news to them, and investing in their life. Then trust in God to do the rest, and you will be amazed at what happens. You will be amazed at the doors that open up, at the relationships that are formed, at lives that are changed, as you simply listen, pray, and speak good news. Next, I pray that you would keep your focus in the right place. You know, as I thought and prayed for a long time about what I should say and sort of a farewell sermon or last message, there's quite a lot of pressure on that, of course, and trying to think, okay, and I came up with a list of probably a couple hundred things, and you know, and then I, like most Sundays, I have probably about a 10 to 12 page document that has this massive, massive length of a message, and then I have to shorten it to two or three pages. Welcome to my regular world. That's what I always do. But maybe someday you can have the whole 10 pages and see what that's like. Just not today. So I thought of all those things, but basically it boiled down to simply one thing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In the midst of all of these struggles that you face, whether it's today or tomorrow and years to come, remember that Christ will never change. Remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember that He is your strength and your security and your hope and your one true leader. He will always be there for you. So while my family and I hope, have been an important part of this church for 8 years, you certainly don't need us to be the church that God calls you to be. Jesus is all this church needs. He is all that you need. He is the head of the church. He's the one true shepherd. He's the one that promises that if you trust in Him, nothing will be impossible. So trust in Him. Listen to Him. Follow Him. Live out His word in your daily life. In other words, keep your eyes on Jesus and remember the one who loved you enough to die for you so that you could be the person God created you to be. A person who is forgiven and free and knows in their heart that they are a child of God. And along those same lines, truly one of my greatest prayers for all of you, I think especially for the younger people or for those struggling with identity and those struggling with condemnation and guilt, is know that your identity lies in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus has made you a new person. No matter what you have done or failed to do, Jesus loves and accepts you exactly as you are. He has forgiven you. He has washed you clean. He has given you a new start. Not only that, He's actually adopted you as fellow children of the Heavenly Father. And then He went even further by placing the Holy Spirit in you, the source of power and comfort to help you live and love exactly like Jesus did. So if you think that you can't do something God is asking you to do, remember that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lies inside of you. And that means nothing is impossible. So no matter what anybody tells you, no matter what anybody says, no matter what culture tries to say you have to do to be somebody, know the only thing that matters is the word that Christ speaks into your life. And He says that you are my dearly loved son, my precious daughter, and I am pleased with you. Now finally, I want to lift up again the idea of the up and out that we shared last week when we were on our service in the park. My prayer for you is that you would continue to grow a life living up in and out. And what that means, again, is the upward relationship with God, the inward relationship with others, the outward relationship with the world. That is the life that Christ lived. It's the life that He wants all of us to live. So I pray that you will grow up in your relationship with God through prayer, through Bible study, through worship, through devotion, that you would come to know your Heavenly Father more. I also pray that you will grow inward in your relationship with one another, that you would continue to build family together, that you would be open and honest with each other, that you would be willing to admit when you need help, that you'd be willing to ask for prayers. I can't tell you how many times someone comes into the office and tells us about some terrible thing that happened, but they just didn't want to bother us. They just didn't want to say anything because they don't want people to worry about them. And I will tell you that that is the enemy speaking. Don't let that stop you from asking for prayer. If you think, I can't ask somebody to pray for me because I'm a bother, because someone, whatever it is a lie. We are a family together. God wants us to pray for one another. God wants us to support each other. But we can't do that if you shut yourself down and close people off. So please welcome people into your life. Trust in them and admit when you need help, because we will be there to help you and God will be there to work through us. Finally, I want to pray that we would grow outward in our relationship with our community and our world, remembering that we are the hands and feet of Christ, that we are God's plan for making this world a better place, and that God's kingdom wants to come in us and through us, and thankfully in spite of us. So at last, we come to a word that some of us don't like saying very often, and that word is goodbye. Now, many of you have already expressed it's pretty difficult to say goodbye to my family and I as you think about going to a different place. And I assure you that even though there is some excitement and some good things in store for us, we have an equally difficult time saying goodbye to all of you, because we love you, we care for you, we have grown very close to you, and we are thankful for you. But even though saying goodbye is hard, know that we can say goodbye in hope. Because as one chapter of ministry ends, it simply means that another chapter begins. And I have no doubt that faithful, fruitful ministry will continue at Zion for years and years to come, because God is the one that's working inside of you. And exactly as our scripture reading said, I am certain that God who began this good work in you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day Christ Jesus returns. That means that the best years of Zion Lutheran Church are not in the past. They are yet to come. So therefore, even though some of us don't really like saying goodbye, I do believe that this morning, goodbye is the right thing to say. Because if you're familiar with the word, goodbye does not mean this is the end. Goodbye does not mean we'll never see each other again. It actually simply means, God be with ye. Goodbye, right? That's where goodbye comes from. God be with you. So goodbye is actually a word of hope. It's a word of healing. It's a word of trust, because wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we do, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of angel armies is always by our side. So let me close by saying a hopeful goodbye. God be with you, dear friends. For I know that our faithful, loving God has been with you in the past, that He is with you right now, and that He will be with you every single day of your life to the very end of the age. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you sent your Son to bring us life and light and healing. We pray on this day and each day that you would teach us to keep our eyes fixed on you, to not look at the wind and the waves and the storms and all that threatens us in this life, but to look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to trust that in you all things are possible. Amen.